Welcome back to Dark Florida. I'm your host, Brooke Moreland, and I am so happy you're here. Welcome to all the returning listeners and some of the new ones that we found along the way. You are in for a treat. I just want to say that before we get started, I had the pleasure of speaking at the Great Florida Bigfoot Conference. Thank you so much to everyone who came out. I truly had the best time talking with everyone who came up to the booth and who listened to the roundtable and came back and asked questions. I just truly had the best time getting to meet all of you. It was just such a humbling experience and inspiring as well. I'm so happy so many of you guys are enjoying the show and love listening. I appreciated all the feedback. So again, just a big thank you for that. And if you want to join the fun, be sure to follow along on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast, and be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darkflorida411. And if you want to support the show, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Do you have a creepy story or want to be a guest on the show? Email me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. Tonight, we're hopping into one of the most chilling urban legends to ever haunt the back roads of Virginia. And just in time for Easter, this is the tale of the Bunny Man. Part true crime, part twisted folklore, and completely unsettling. Let's dive right in. They say if you walk the quiet, tree-lined neighborhoods just outside of Washington, D.C. after dark, you might catch a glimpse of him, a tall, silent, dressed head to toe in a tattered white bunny suit. It sounds absurd, doesn't it? A man in a bunny costume haunting the suburbs of our nation's capital. But as strange as it may seem, the legend of the Bunny Man has lingered in the shadows of Northern Virginia for decades, over half a century in fact, and this tale only gets darker the deeper you dig. By the early 1970s, whispers of the so-called Bunny Man had spread beyond Virginia, with sightings reported as far as Maryland, and even in the District of Columbia. The stories were eerily similar. The figure always appeared in remote, dimly lit areas, back roads, cul-de-sacs, and old forest trails. Witnesses describe him as a man in a white bunny suit, often wielding an axe or a hatchet, chasing children around, smashing through windows, or vandalizing property under the cover of night. He doesn't speak, they said, just stared, and then vanishes into the woods. By the 1980s, the Bunny Man legend had evolved into something far more sinister. No longer just a bizarre vandal or a local scary story, he morphed into a violent specter blamed for a series of brutal murders, his legend snowballing with each retelling. Some claim he still roams the woods near Culpeper, Virginia, but his presence is most deeply rooted in an old railroad overpass in Fairfax Station, a place known to locals and thrill seekers alike as Bunny Man Bridge. It's kind of become a rite of passage for people to visit the bridge on Halloween night to dare the Bunny Man to show himself. The legend says if you go alone, you'll hear him breathing behind you, and others claim you'll see glowing red eyes from the darkness. The story has become so entrenched in the local consciousness that even the Fairfax County's official government website has addressed it, attempting to separate fact from folklore. But the truth is harder to untangle than you think. A popular version of the legend circulating online tells a chilling backstory, one rich with details that make it feel all too real. According to this version, the nightmare began in 1904 when a bus transporting inmates from a nearby insane asylum crashed while en route to Lorton Prison. Most of the inmates were captured quickly, but a few vanished into the dense woods. Authorities launched a full-blown manhunt and soon discovered the mutilated body of one of the escapees, Marcus Walster, strung up from a tree near the overpass. His body was torn open and half-eaten. The authorities believe the killer was another escapee, Douglas J. Griffin, a man with a history of violence and cannibalism. Over time, they say Griffin took on a new persona, the Bunny Man. Now, here's where things start to blur. where the fact gives way to legend, and the line between the two becomes hard to see in the fog. As the manhunt stretched on, police began to find unsettling signs in the woods. They also found nearly a dozen rabbits half-eaten and their bodies strung up for trees as if displayed. The scene was ritualistic and predatory. The legend gets even more unsettling. Some versions list the names of his victims along with the exact dates they were found. While there's no official records to confirm these details, the specificity only adds to the legend's power. Some say that Griffin never existed, or if he did, that he's simply a boogeyman born from the tangle of fear, small town gossip, and an urban myth. One thing is certain. The Bunny Man still haunts the imagination of Northern Virginia and those brave enough to seek him out. But to get closer to the truth, we have to step back into the eerie shadows of Lorraine Woods. Picture it. The year is 1964. Cold wind rattles through the trees. Disappearances are spreading through Prince William and Fairfax counties like a sickness that no one can name. Rumors begin to stir of a strange man lurking in the woods, watching from the tree line, slipping through the cracks of police investigations like smoke. But where did he come from? Who or what had birthed the nightmare that would become known as the Bunny Man? As we follow the breadcrumb trail through the decades of urban legend and supposed murders stretching back into the early 1900s, we began to uncover something unexpected. Threads of truth that are tangled in folklore. Every trail, every eerie whisper, seemed to circle back to one place, Lorraine Woods. It turns out there really was a man named Douglas J. Griffin, but he hadn't escaped from an insane asylum in 1904. At least, not officially. Douglas was born in 1940 to Edith and Walter Griffin of Gainesville, Virginia. His life took a tragic turn early on when his father was killed in action during World War II, leaving Edith, his mother, a widow and Douglas without a father. From that moment on, something shifted in their home. Edith became obsessively protective over her only child. Some said that she smothered him, literally and figuratively, rarely letting him out of her sight and forbidding him to socialize with other children, isolating him from the world. They lived together in a crumbling, neglected house hidden in what is now known as Lorraine Woods. The overgrown trees swallowed the house in shadows, and the neighbors began to talk. Talk about a boy who never spoke, the mother who stared too long, and the strange noises that they heard at night. By the late 1950s, the area was shaken by a growing number of child disappearances. Beginning in 1958, missing persons reports began popping up all over Prince William and Fairfax County. Children were vanishing without a trace. At first, no one connected to the dots. No remains were ever found. No one to question. Just silence in fear. That changed in 1964 when June Holliber, a college student returning home from winter break, went missing. 2 weeks later, her frozen body was discovered deep in the woods near Bull Run. There were signs of a struggle, and something felt off. Tracks led police to Lorraine Woods, where they questioned the ever-elusive Douglas Griffin, who is now a gaunt, reclusive man living alone after his mother's death. Though they couldn't tie him to the murder, suspicion lingered like smoke. And then, just as suddenly as he appeared, Douglas vanished without a trace. No goodbye, just gone. He wouldn't reemerge on record until 1970, when court documents show several bizarre misdemeanor charges. Mostly, they were for trespassing, often on private property or construction sites, late at night, always alone, always unarmed, and always dismissed. Was Douglas Griffin truly the infamous Bunny Man, or is he just a scapegoat woven into a tale that's grown darker with every retelling? Could it all be an elaborate hoax, or is there something far more unsettling going on? Something that's been kept alive over the decades, perhaps by more than one person, slipping into the role of the perversive legend, or to mask their own twisted intentions. But some believe that Griffin never stopped, that he was the bunny man, and that he fled the area after being questioned and carried on his dark obsessions elsewhere. To legend seekers, the bridge is simply known as Bunny Man Bridge. The overpass itself was built around 1906, and not far from the site of the old Sangster Station. The structure might be plain at first glance, a narrow, one-lane tunnel tucked into a forgotten corner of Clifton. But once the sun sets and the fog begins to settle, it takes on a different shape entirely, a darker energy, a place where myth clings to the concrete like moss. Over the decades, Bunny Man Bridge has become one of Virginia's most famous urban legends, drawing in thrill seekers, paranormal investigators, and those simply looking for something they can't quite explain. Especially around Halloween, the bridge becomes a beacon for the curious, and some hoping for answers, others daring themselves to face the unknown. By 2003, so many people were making the pilgrimage that local authorities had to step in, setting up checkpoints to control the crowds. On Halloween night in 2011, over 200 people were turned away, some having driven for hours, all lured in by the mystery. The bridge's exact location isn't hard to find. Just type in Bunny Man Bridge into Google and it'll take you right to 6497 Colchester Road. But don't mistake that convenience for safety. This is an active train route and the tunnel beneath it is as narrow as the legends are wide. There is no parking and barely any room to turn around. And at night, visibility drops to near nothing. And here's the thing. The danger just isn't in the legend. Local police frequently monitor the area, especially around Halloween. Not necessarily for the Bunny Man, but to keep people from wandering onto the tracks, meeting a fate far too real. Those tracks have claimed lives before. It's easy to forget in the excitement of a ghost hunt that the biggest threat might not be a spirit, but a speeding train. Still, the legend persists, because legends, like spirits of this region, have a way of lingering. Northern Virginia is no stranger to the strange. Its history is haunted by wars, by sorrow, by the whispers of things unseen. From the mournful ghost of a young woman drifting through the Gatsby's Tavern in Alexandria to the shadowy soldiers pacing the fields of Manassas, this land is stitched together with stories that refuse to stay buried. And Bunny Man Bridge? It's more than just a creepy name. It's a threshold. Once you cross, not just with your car, but with your curiosity, a place where the veil feels just a little thinner, where every breeze sounds like footsteps, and where the line between folklore and reality starts to blur. But this bridge isn't just infamous because of the way it looks or the unsettling stillness that settles around it after dark. It's what happened nearby, what allegedly happened, that gave birth to one of the most chilling legends on the East Coast. The story traces back to a night in mid-October in 1970. The air had just begun to cool in Fairfax County, Virginia. Halloween was approaching and the leaves were crisp underfoot. It was supposed to be an ordinary evening for the Air Force cadet Robert Bennett and his fiancée. The couple had driven out to Guinea Road, a quiet spot where many young people went to escape the noise of everyday life. They parked beneath the trees and the windows cracked just slightly, maybe sharing a moment of the calm. But the peace didn't last. Without warning, a man dressed from head to toe in a white bunny costume emerged from the surrounding woods. This was not a playful mascot in a suit, but something rough, disturbing, and homemade. The kind of thing that clung too tightly to the body. The ears looked lopsided and stained. Before they could even react, the man screamed, "You're on private property and I have your tag number." Then, in one sudden, violent motion, he hurled a wooden-handled hatchet straight through the front passenger window. Glass exploded into the car. Terrified, the couple sped away, leaving the mysterious figure standing in the road, still and silent, as the trees swallowed him whole. Police were called, and the incident was taken seriously. An investigation followed, but no suspect was ever found. No motive, and no explanation, just a shadow in the shape of a bunny suit. But that wasn't the end. Less than 2 weeks later, on October 29th, another report surfaced, this time from a construction site not far from the first attack. Security guard Paul Phillips claims that he came face to face with the same bizarre figure. The man, again, in a ragged bunny costume, was wielding a hatchet and pacing furiously among the half-finished buildings. According to Phillips, the bunny man shouted at him, ranting about trespassers and voicing his anger at the developers for encroaching on his land. And just like before, he disappeared into the dark. Uncatchable, unknowable. These two eerie, seemingly unconnected incidents became the roots of something much bigger. In the absence of an arrest or clear answers, the story took on a life of its own. Over the years, the tale twisted, evolved, and grown much darker, absorbing whispers of ghostly sightings, ritualistic gatherings, and shadowy disappearances. Some even tie it to the Satanic Panic of the 1980s, claiming that the bridge was once used for occult ceremonies or blood rites, leaving behind an imprint too strong to fade. Others swear they've heard screams echoing through the trees at night, or have seen pale figures lurking just beyond the reach of the headlights. Whether it's myth or memory, something about that bridge draws people in. And perhaps it's no coincidence that so many legends are tied to bridges. They're natural thresholds, places of transition, passageways between worlds. From ancient folklore to modern ghost stories, bridges are often where reality bends, where you cross over, and sometimes don't come back the same. At Bunny Man Bridge, the ordinary world feels far away. It's quiet, too quiet. And even if you don't believe in spirits or serial killers in rabbit suits, the place will make you feel watched, like the trees are listening, like the story is still unfolding, waiting for the next chapter and the next visitor. Though sightings have been reported as far south as Culpeper, Virginia, the epicenter of it all remains fixated on one chilling location, that lonely railroad overpass near Fairfax Station, a place where teenagers dare each other to go, especially in the fall when the air is crisp and the veil between the truth and terror feels especially thin. It's known today as the Bunny Man Bridge, and if the stories are to be believed, he's still out there, waiting, watching, and perhaps preparing to strike again. It seems something darker still lurks in those woods that no one really wants to find out. But it wasn't until that evening on October 22nd, 1970, that the bunny man would leap from whispers at a campfire into a full-blown public consciousness. Those two strange incidents in Fairfax County, Virginia, thrust the legend into the spotlight. In both cases, witnesses described an unhinged man wearing a white bunny costume, brandishing an axe, threatening teenagers near isolated homes and wooded roads. The local media couldn't resist the bizarre imagery, and the bunny man was born again, no longer just a backyard boogeyman, but a headline. And the story spread like wildfire. The headlines from the local newspaper read, "Man in a bunny suit sought in Fairfax." Another headline reads, "The rabbit reappears." By 1973, reports of the bunny man sightings had reached Maryland and even the District of Columbia. But these appearances weren't predictable. They were infrequent and often occurring in the dead of night in remote or desolate places. Witnesses described a chilling figure, a man dressed head to toe in a white bunny suit, sometimes dirtied, torn, wielding an axe with casual confidence of someone who has used it before. He never stayed long, just long enough to vandal property, terrify bystanders, and vanish into the woods with a disturbing calm. But by the 80s, this legend took a darker turn. In hushed tones on local radio shows, people began to speak of murders, brutal ones, tied to the bunny man. The details were sketchy, unverifiable, and often inconsistent. But one thing was clear, the Bunny Man was evolving. He was no longer a strange man in a costume. He was becoming something else entirely. A myth, a warning, a name you didn't say out loud on Halloween night. Was the Bunny Man a murderer? That's the question that haunts every curious mind that brushes up against this unsettling legend. It's the kind of tale that gets passed around campfires and whispered about and dared about in drunken midnight drives through the Virginia back roads. But when you strip away the folklore and start hunting for facts, things get murky fast. Officially, there's no evidence tying the Bunny Man to any murders. And as much as we'd like to dig into the dusty police files or forgotten court documents for answers, Fairfax County doesn't make it easy. Police records are not readily available to the public, and court documents are filed by individual names, not locations or incidents. So how do you track a ghost when there's no trail? Well, you start with the newspapers. And the Fairfax County Public Library holds a hidden gem in its Virginia room, a meticulously kept archive thanks to two volunteers, Malcolm Richardson and Barbara Welch. These two spent over 10 years digging through every scrap of local reporting they could find, assembling a comprehensive index of murders that took place in Fairfax County from 1872 through 1973. Their work gives us a path forward. What was found? Over 550 documented murders. The number is stunning. This county, now known for its DC suburbs and bustling neighborhoods, once held a dark and violent undercurrent, but not all of those murders matched the Bunny Man mythos. When you narrow down the search and filter out the cases of domestic violence or single victim shootings, those are tragic, yes, but not the sort of tale that would spawn a bloody urban legend. Instead, if we start looking for brutality, unexplained disappearances, multiple victims, and sadly, children, the kinds of horrors that leave a deep scar enough to birth legends, we were able to find three. The first was the murder of Francis and June Hobler in 1949. A mother and her infant daughter were lured out by Francis's estranged husband, Charles. He claimed that they were going to lodge in Fairfax County, but his real plan was far more sinister. After their car got stuck in mud, an argument broke out. Francis left, carrying baby June in her arms, and she walked into the woods. Neither were seen alive again. Days later, Francis was found shot and half buried, and baby June had been buried alive nearby. Charles had been planning the murder for weeks. He was sentenced to death, but his conviction was overturned on appeal. He died in a mental institution. It's a story of betrayal, madness, and cold-blooded planning, but not of a man in a bunny suit or anything close. The next case in the area was in 1927 and is known as the Ridgeway Murders, a brutal attack on a mother and her two young daughters in their home. A man named Louis Borgsegg bludgeoned them to death after lying his way inside. Only Minnie, the mother, survived. The girls Loretta, age 7, and Catherine, age 5, did not. It was a heinous act, and Borgsegg was quickly executed. Another devastating tale, but again, no rabbit ears, no bridge, no axe-wielding phantom in white. But the third case, that one stuck with me. Eva Roy was just 14 years old when she left her home on one August day in 1918 to tend to the family's cows. She never returned. Her body was later discovered tied to a tree, and she was strangled with her own apron strings. It was a crime that shocked the quiet community of Burke. A man named Lou Hall was tried twice but never convicted. An escaped convict even falsely confessed to her murder, using the claim as leverage to try to escape prison. To this day, Eva's killer has never been identified. Now, This case starts to feel eerily similar. A young girl murdered in the woods, a mystery that still lingers in the soil. But there's no mention of a costumed attacker, no axe, and no bridge. So where did this legend begin? It's safe to say that in the early 1970s, stories started to emerge, ones that were weird, yes, but not deadly. As we mentioned, the first official Bunnyman sightings didn't involve murder at all. The tales were of vandalism, someone in a white outfit, possibly a bunny suit, chucking hatchets through car windows, threatening trespassers, and damaging construction sites near a developing neighborhood. There were even reports from a security guard who was patrolling a construction site who had a similar experience. He found a man in a tattered bunny costume standing on a porch, and when the guard approached, he began yelling and chopped violently at a wooden post with a hatchet before fleeing into the night. The construction company later received a call from someone claiming to be the Bunny Man, warning them to stop trespassing. And from there, it's safe to say the story took on a life of its own. By the 90s, the tale had taken a twisted turn into something far more gruesome. Now, the Bunny Man just wasn't a vandal, he was a killer. Stories began to circulate of teenagers found mutilated underneath the bridge, strung up like meat on hooks. Some claimed they were daring each other to visit the bridge on Halloween. Others claimed they were summoned there by some strange voice. Of course, none of these stories were ever able to be verified, but that's the thing about legends. They don't need evidence to grow. They just need fear. There is a story of someone who grew up in Fairfax in the late 90s. She told reporters that one fall afternoon, while walking home from school, she saw something that made her skin crawl. A man in a ragged, oversized bunny suit walking slowly, too slowly, down from the other side of the street. She froze. The man stopped too and just watched her. No words, no movement, just staring. She claims that she ran the rest of the way home and that she never saw him again. So to answer our question, was the Bunny Man a murderer? No. At least not in any way that records can prove. But maybe that's not the point. Maybe he represents something deeper, something primal. Our fear of the woods, of the unknown, of a figure just beyond the tree line who doesn't make a sound and never breaks eye contact, of the possibility that someone or something could be out there watching. And maybe the scariest part of the Bunny Man legend isn't what we know happened, it's what we don't. Now, if you thought the tale of the Bunny Man was confined to the shadows of Northern Virginia, think again. This sinister spectator in a rabbit suit has carved a path well beyond the Colchester overpass, leaving bloody paw prints all over horror films, internet lore, and even Easter itself. Let's start with the obvious. The Bunny Man film series, beginning with the first installment in 2011, Bunny Man is a low-budget slasher that takes the urban legend and cranks it up to a full-blown exploitation horror. The plot? A group of friends are hunted by a chainsaw-wielding maniac in, you guessed it, a bunny suit. It's grimy, gory, and deliberately uncomfortable. While not a direct telling of the Virginia Bunnyman incidents, the film borrows core aesthetics. It takes something innocent, like a bunny costume, and pairs it with the unhinged violence. That contrast is disturbing, and that's exactly the point. The series has become something of a cult favorite and has spawned sequels because something about a killer bunny hits a nerve, and it's almost too absurd to ignore. And then there's Donnie Darko, an entirely different flavor of nightmare fuel. The 2011 psychological thriller features the haunting figure of Frank, a man in a metallic skeletal rabbit costume who appears to Donnie and speaks in cryptic, apocalyptic riddles. While Donnie Darko doesn't reference the Bunnyman legend directly, the thematic parallels are impossible to miss. Frank is a manifestation of mental illness, time distortion, and dread, a modern ghost in a rabbit's skin. The idea of the bunny as the harbinger of doom, whispering from the void, aligns eerily well with the folklore's darker undertones. And let's not forget creepypasta culture. The internet horror has taken the bunny man and run wild with it. From Reddit threads to YouTube horror narrations, the bunny man has been reimagined as everything from a vengeful spirit to a flesh-wearing cultist. One popular take paints him as a failed experiment, a hybrid between man and beast, the result of occult rituals gone wrong in the woods of Virginia. Others say he's not one man, but a legacy, passed down from one person to the next, like a cursed totem. With each new bunny man claiming more victims near the bridge every October, the internet has breathed new life into the legend and turning it from a regional folklore into a digital campfire tale for the TikTok generation. But maybe one of the strangest and most fascinating developments is the rise of Easter horror, a holiday typically filled with pastel colors, chocolate eggs, and cheerful bunnies, now has its own blood-soaked subgenre. Films like Beaster Day, Here Comes Peter Cottontail, and Easter Bunny Kill takes the bunny man aesthetic and goes full grindhouse. Even Critters 2 from the 80s features a killer Easter bunny scene that's seared into many childhood memories. But why though? Because there's something deeply unsettling about twisting innocence into terror. The same reasons clowns went from birthday parties to horror icons. A bunny should be harmless, but slap a bloodstained mask on it and suddenly it's nightmare fuel. The crossover between urban legend and holiday horror speaks to something deeper: our desire to subvert the familiar. Urban legends like the Bunny Man thrive on that tension, where myth bleeds into reality. A bridge becomes cursed ground. A costume becomes a warning. And Easter? Just another canvas for things we fear to hop into the daylight. So whether it's in indie films, creepypastas, or twisted holiday flicks, the Bunny Man continues to evolve, his story shifting like the shadows under the bridge where it all began. He's more than just a ghost story now. He's an archetype, a modern monster stitched together from fear, folklore, and the unsettling truth that sometimes the scariest things wear a smile. So, what do you think? Let's take a moment to step back and recap the eerie path we just followed. One soaked in mystery, myth, and just enough truth to make you second guess every rustling sound in the woods. We explored the Bunny Man legend rooted in two real incidents from 1970 when a man in a white rabbit suit reportedly hurled a hatchet through a car window and later threatened a construction guard with the same weapon. The man was never caught, never identified, just vanished. And that silence left space for a legend to grow teeth. And that's where the legend of Bunny Man Bridge began. What was once Colchester Overpass, an eerie, narrow tunnel tucked into the dense woods of Clifton, Virginia, became a spot of countless ghost stories, paranormal investigations, thrill seekers, and legend trippers have all made their journey there, especially in the dead of night, whispering about the shadowy figures, strange sounds, and the chill that seems to cling in the air. We dug into the darker lore too. Talk of midnight rituals, ghost sightings, vanishing people, and ties to the satanic panic era. Stories that claim the bridge isn't just haunted, but that it's cursed. The Bunny Man isn't just a man in a costume, but something far older and more sinister, maybe even inhuman. And as we traced the Bunny Man's path into pop culture, we saw the haunting figure has leapt from folklore into horror films, and even viral tales of occult experiments and generational curses. From terrifying tales on Reddit to low-budget slasher flicks, he's become a modern urban myth. and maybe even an unofficial mascot of Easter horror. So now, dear listeners, I want to know, do you believe the Bunny Man is real? Or is it just an overgrown campfire story passed around by locals and ghost hunters? Would you dare visit Bunny Man Bridge after dark with the train rumbling above and the forest pressing in close? And more importantly, would you go alone? I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've ever been to Bunny Man Bridge or had your own strange experience there, if you have a theory you want to share or just a story to tell, reach out to me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com and feel free to message me on Instagram at darkfloridapodcast and or drop a comment under this video on YouTube. And please, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. It really helps the show. Because around here, your stories might just be the next legend we tell. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay curious and stay strange.